This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Throughout American history, women have had an unquestioned right to bear arms. How they choose to exercise that right and how the men around them react is a more complicated story. Though some women see guns as the great equalizer, they can also be tools of terror and tragedy. And many women today shoot for pleasure or for sport or carry guns as part of their job. In a new book, Blown Away, American Women and Guns, reporter Caitlin Kelly examines the conflicted relationship between women and guns. If you're among the many millions of women who own a gun, call and tell us why. If you won't have them in the house, we want to hear about how you made that decision also. Our phone number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And our email address is totn@npr.org. Caitlin Kelly joins us from our bureau in New York to talk about her new book. And thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Is the decision to own or not own a gun different for women than it is for men?
It's very different for a number of reasons, the most important of which women define themselves and are defined by their ability to maintain and nurture relationships. In other words, if you think that getting a gun is going to endanger your relationship with your new husband, your new boyfriend, your children, your stepchildren, your cubicle mate at work, you're likely not going to do it. Or if you do it, which is really interesting, you're not going to talk about it. It's a bit of a secret subculture. Guys will boast about their guns. Women will keep it secret from their best friends.
Indeed, a lot of what you write about is how, as a society, we really don't talk about women and guns at all. Why not?
Well, there's lots of reasons. One of them, I think it's very frightening to imagine a woman with a gun. Think of Thelma and Louise, and she had to die for using a gun. When we have women and guns in popular culture, they're always cartoony, they wear bikinis, they're really not serious killers. So women are associated with nurturing and caring and protection, which are wonderful qualities. But when women are not protected by the culture, that's when they think, maybe it's time to get a gun. It's a very disturbing image and a very disturbing thought for many men and women in America.
There are many millions of women who own guns. You estimate somewhere between 11 and 17 million for all kinds of different reasons. But the principal reason, you argue, is for protection.
Well, that's not entirely true, if I may correct you.
Okay.
50% are for protection. And it's important to understand that there really are two ways that women come into gun ownership. Some women simply like to shoot. It's an anathema to many people to say this. Shooting can be tremendous fun. Shooting at targets, cowboy action shooting, you dress up in Western clothing, you take a nickname, you shoot with your posse. It all sounds silly, but some Americans love to shoot for fun. They hunt. And so it's a very social and family activity. They love to compete. Women are very competitive athletically. But then, yes, they do buy guns for self-defense. There's tremendous crime rates against women in this country. 3/4 of women over the age of 12, according to Department of Justice statistics, will become a crime victim. 1/3 of those crimes will be violent. That's a terribly frightening thought for many women. And when women talk to other women who have been victimized, they think, I don't want to be the next one.
You write in your book that no matter who owns it, when a gun and its potential for violence and control enters a home, power shifts. What did women tell you about their experiences with that?
It's interesting. As you know, if you read that chapter, the chapter begins with a woman who was a police officer in New York City, very comfortable with firearms and power. Her husband's in the fire department, so a military culture. You'd think of all men he would be comfortable. And she laughed. She said, oh, no. He was very uncomfortable because a gun in its crudest form is power. A woman who has a gun, knows how to use it, shoots, practices, is unhesitating in the moment of truth, is somebody who's very frightening to some men who think, well, I always have the upper hand. I'm bigger. I'm stronger. She will submit to my will. And a woman who has a gun, and again, is trained and ready, and it's a terrible decision to shoot in self-defense. I don't think any woman wants to ever do that. But that really forces the man to rethink, who is powerful here? And when and how will this power be exercised? The man who brings the gun into the home also tremendously shifts the power balance. If they don't tell the woman and she reaches into a closet and, oh my gosh, there's a gun there and they have children and he hasn't told her, this is a terrible responsibility to place on your family. It has to be talked about.
You also write that there's an apparent contradiction that a lot of women have a lot of trouble dealing with. At the same time, you know, they're told to take care of themselves, that in, you know, modern world, women are equal and need to be powerful. At the same time, there's a lot of questions about guns.
Absolutely. I know you were just speaking on feminism, and mm-hmm. I think this really addresses the issue right at the heart of it. And I'm not going to make the argument that getting a gun makes you a feminist. That's too simplistic. But if you take the point, arguably, that feminism equals power, that we want equal physical, financial, emotional power in the culture, the gun does give you an advantage in the worst situations that you do not have by sitting back and, forgive me for the crudity, spouting feminist dogma. People talk about you can't appropriate the master's tools, you're taking on patriarchal violence. At the end of the day, when your restraining order is like holding up a napkin, and they're frequently completely ineffective at protecting women from abusive men who stalk and hunt them like animals, what are women to do? So for every person horrified, as I truly am, by the violence against women in this culture, I throw the question back to horrified liberals everywhere. What are you doing today to help to protect women? They need protection, if only from the criminal justice system and the law enforcement system. And I have stories that are too grisly to share on air that really show there are some tremendous weaknesses right now within those systems. Women are not as protected as they need to be.
Let's get some listeners involved in the conversation. We'll begin with Aliza, who's with us from Sherman, Wyoming.
From Laramie, Wyoming.
Ah, my mistake. I'm sorry.
I am actually one of the women in Caitlin Kelly's book. I am a gun owner. I've owned a gun since 1994, a 9mm Sig Sauer. And I actually opted for a 9mm as opposed to a pistol. It was not for self-defense, even though it happened immediately after being held up at gunpoint when I went and purchased my gun. It was actually just to regain self-confidence.
So if it was not, you say you were assaulted, and if you had a gun with you, would you have used it to protect yourself?
Absolutely not. There was no possibility. It was a friend of mine and I assaulted three men. They all had guns, young men. The situation could have been volatile. If we had a gun on us, if we had pulled a gun out, it would have been a deadly situation. So it was more important while we were being held up to keep our cool and keep our head. It was after that I thought, I need to face this fear. I need to be able to learn how to handle a gun.
And did you?
I did. In fact, I'm an incredible shot. I was living in New York City at the time, which is very hard to even get a gun permit. They told me at the police department, try for a home protection license, but you won't be able to shoot often. Instead, I went for the target license so I could go and shoot as often as I liked. I went very frequently. I learned that men like to shoot, pow, 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 but women take their time. And they see this as a very big responsibility, as I did. But I'm a great shot. I now live in Wyoming.
Easier to get guns in Wyoming, I suspect.
Easier to get guns, easier to carry guns, easier to talk about guns. In New York City, the conversation would stop the minute I said that I owned a gun. In Wyoming, it's no big deal. Women shoot, women hunt, women own guns. So it's a completely different environment.
Well, Caitlin Kelly, I'm going to ask for a response, but I'll throw in this email that we just got from Tom. I have an observation. I ask every female friend who owns a gun a simple question. When was the last time you were at the range? Not one has been to the range or has fired it. A gun is useless for protection if you can't or won't hit a target.
That's exactly true. I make this point in my book, and I'm happy to make it again here. I was quite horrified with some of the women I met, not like Aliza, who's a sharpshooter, and good for her. Women can be quite careless in their handling of guns in terms of the responsibility. Tom is absolutely right. If you have a gun and you don't practice, you might as well not even own it, because in that moment of self-defense, it is really a skill that you have to build, you have to practice. I spent 3 days at gun school shooting a 9mm pistol, about 5 hours a day for 3 days in a row. And I know firsthand, I don't own a gun, and I don't want to, but I do know it's not easy under stress. And think about it. If you've got somebody in your basement banging around and you think he's coming to get you, you're shaking, you're scared, it's dark. That's exactly when your muscle memory has to be very trained to do this thing properly, because if you're serious, it's your life you're protecting. This is not a joke. So I think Tom's making an excellent point.
Aliza, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
We're talking about the new book, Blown Away. Our guest is Caitlin Kelly. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's talk now with Jana. And Jana's with us from Portland, Oregon.
Hi, it's actually Jana, but
I thought the J was a Y. I apologize.
Oh, no problem. Before I married my husband, it was a prerequisite that we did not have a gun in our home, and actually it was the only prerequisite that we had. And I think the main reason I had it is because when I was in high school, you know, there were several suicides that were involved, you know, guns were involved, and it was just something I never wanted to have that kind of access to. And I also know myself well enough to know that I'm so clumsy that if I did have a gun, it probably wouldn't be used well in self-defense.
And Caitlin Kelly, those all seem like good reasons.
I think those are really sensible reasons. The most important point I want to make about gun ownership is that it's an intensely personal decision. It's an extraordinary responsibility. And suicide, which many people don't know, represents 50% of gun deaths. So I'm really glad that she raises this point. And when people bring guns into their home or decide to keep them within the home, it's not just it's safe, it's not, I have a permit or I don't. Is there depression? Do you have a teenage boy who's very impulsive and statistically most likely to have a gun accident or get involved in something serious? It's a really great point that she's raising. You have to do a fearless self-examination. Look at your family. Look at your nature. She admits, I'm clumsy. I admit, I'm a fairly, I won't say careless person. I'm the kind of girl who loses her cell phone for 3 weeks at a time. I mean, it's really bad. So I'm not a great candidate to own a gun either. And I'm quite comfortable saying that. It's a tremendous responsibility. You have to do it thoughtfully. You have to protect your family. That's how it is.
I know where your cell phone is. It's with my house keys.
Oh, great.
Jonna, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's talk now with Aaron. And Aaron's on the line with us from Traverse City in Michigan.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to talk about why I don't have a gun and why I won't have a gun.
Mm-hmm.
My husband's a former Marine, and he's very familiar with guns. And, you know, we thought maybe I should be, too. So I shot one once. And the feeling that I got from shooting it with a revolver and shooting it is what has basically made me decide not to have a gun, because I did not like that rush. I did not like that feeling that I had any sort of control over life and death, any sort of control over that kind of power. And I'm wondering if you could comment as to whether or not you think that's kind of a female-specific thing, you know, not liking that power.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you raised that point. I went through exactly the same thing, and I described this in the book. I had never fired a gun, and there I was about to shoot for 3 days. And it was an extraordinary moment. I've been a crime victim 4 times, and thank God, not violent crime. But you get a little tired of it. And so you do carry this sense of rage and impotence and think, well, if only I had a gun. And truly, as you know, once you've fired, especially a handgun, and it's in your hands, that's why it's called a handgun, the flame is close to your face, it jumps, it's loud, it smells, there's lead dust, you go, okay, this is serious. This is not like TV, this is not bang, bang, everything's done. It's a very intense feeling of power. And I think women are profoundly ambivalent, even in an area of feminism, with that power. We don't necessarily want it, because when you've got that gun, you've trained, you've practiced, and you think, I'm going to use it. This is the most profound decision to consider taking a human life. It's a terrible decision. It's one I never want to make. So this is a wonderful point. Women who get guns for self-protection are not going to wave them to look dangerous. They're going to point them, and they may fire them, and they may kill somebody. So I think that's very smart of you to really look at that point in your life and say, this is not for me.
Right, and it was definitely not for me. And I'm a very, I would define myself as a feminist, and I'm also a pacifist, which is kind of ironic, too. So I don't know if that has, you know, figures in at all, but I could never, ever see myself ever shooting a gun again. And I'm sure that, I know judo, and so I...
But Aaron, does your husband have one in the house?
No. And he completely respects my wishes on that. And we're both peace activists now, actually. So, no, we don't have one. And we have a new daughter, too, which, you know, has furthered our decision not to.
We just have a few seconds left, Caitlin Kelly, but these are issues well worked out in advance. People should talk about it.
Absolutely. We need a dialogue in the culture. And as you know, there are very few subjects left in America that are as divisive as guns. We tend not to talk. And my greatest wish for this book is to promote rational, thoughtful, and respectful dialogue so that we can work some of these issues out in a way that can create less tension and less violence.
Aaron, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
And Caitlin Kelly, appreciate your time today.
Thank you so much.
Caitlin Kelly's book is Blown Away, American Women and Guns. Joe Palca's here sitting in for Ira Flatow tomorrow. See you Monday. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News.